The second scripture today is the familiar story of Jesus coming to the disciples in the upper room. And, there will be an activity time across the way for those of proper age. Not you, Krista. In the upper room when the disciples were... They were locked in fear because of fear. So it's John 20, 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. Yeah, we have several of our common expressions are based from this. Seeing is believing. Doubting Thomas, although many scholars think that he gets a bum rap there. Thomas, and interestingly, it says that Thomas is called a twin. And many scholars think that he was the one who was chosen kind of to say and ask the things that were on everybody's mind. In other words, when he expressed his doubt, he was saying what a lot of them were thinking. And I guess that's a gift in itself. Seeing is believing. We like to say that, right? And boy, did we just hear stories about how it changes perception to see what actually is out there. The beliefs that many people hold about homeless persons and about people who were any kind of people who are different. You know, they just, in many cases, don't hold up to scrutiny. When you get a chance to really go and see and visit and chat with, one or two said, they were people just like us. It's an old statistic that I could not refine at this point, but several years ago when I preached on a similar topic, it was said that like 60% of people who lived in middle America, middle class America, were 4 paychecks from being homeless. When I was in Easton, serving the city of Bridgeport, decided not to fund a shelter for the winter. And I guess that's too harsh. I think they decided they couldn't fund it. And so the churches stepped up through the Council of Churches. The Salvation Army volunteered their space for people. And someone asked he was a lieutenant, I think, asked the lieutenant who ran the local building, can you do that on your own? Don't you have to run that up the chain of command? He says, no, he says, I find it's easier to receive forgiveness than permission. And so the shelter was started in their basement, a big space, and folks from Easton were a big part of the staffing and everything. So they had the same experience that y'all had. They went in for the first night, they got all prepared and everything, and we made all the proper arrangements, and folks came back from there and they said, they weren't anything like I thought they were going to be. Do you know there were families there? Do you know there were 15 children out of the 75 people that showed up for that first night? Do you realize? Oh, I didn't know that it was like that. When we actually are exposed to other people where they are, we're always amazed to find out that they're pretty much like us. People sometimes come by the pastor's office looking for some help, financial or otherwise. And so I sit down and we talk for a few minutes and find points of contact in our lives. It's almost scary in a way sometimes to feel that minor distance between being okay and not. It's important. Seeing is believing is hard for us sometimes today because, we've got all this stuff going around that, just starting with Photoshop, right? You look at a picture and you can't tell if it's a real picture or not. So seeing, we question. So if we don't see something for ourselves, like Thomas, if we don't see something for ourselves, there's always that piece of doubt, always that question about, is that real? I guess experts can tell if something's been Photoshopped, but I sure can't for the most part. If it's done well, it's hard to separate out. The second part of my title is Believing is Seeing. And I put that there because so many times in the public sphere, we hear people who say, well, I saw this way. And I believe because I saw that way. But they didn't see the reality. They saw their picture of what homeless persons are like. I mean, quite frankly, my old picture of it was that they would all be men, that many of them would be alcoholics or drug users, and that they would be completely down and out. People in our church were very, very upset at first when some of the people came to the shelter in cars. And then the shelter director said, but if they're trying to find work, if they're trying to do anything, they have to have a car. Oh, and they had, this was years ago before cell phones were quite so everywhere. Some of them had cell phones. Yeah, if you don't have a house and you need to talk to anybody about a job or your family or anything, you have to have some way to do that. One of the most attractive benefits at the shelter was that they had a phone that folks could use because they were cut off. So people believe, and then they see what they want to see. There was a cartoon that said, these are the web pages that I think are very truthful and honest, and that's primarily because they agree with what I think. And somehow we got to break out of that. We have to break out. We have to find ways to see and to believe. And the main thing that we talk about this week after Easter is with Thomas is that we need to be ones who believe in Jesus, even though we cannot see him. Both the Peter reading and the John reading talk about seeing or believing in what you can't see. And that's a stretch for some of us, but it's absolutely essential. If Jesus were still here so that we could put our fingers in the wounds, he could only be in one place in all the world. As it is, he can be everywhere. He can be with all of us all the time. And so I would suggest that as a possible course of action is, when we see something or we hear something about, especially about people, that we see them and hear them through Jesus' eyes and ears. That we see them as people, first and foremost. I remember being chided once because I spoke of AIDS people. And somebody said, no, those are persons with AIDS. And they're homeless persons. They're not the homeless. Jesus would see them as individual people. And Jesus would love them as individual people. And Jesus wants us to be part of their lives, reaching out to them however we can and whenever we can. So I thank our missionaries and Sal for getting it going, getting the trip organized, and all the chaperones and everyone who supported it financially and in any way. And we just thank you for that opportunity for some of us to see so that we may, in fact, believe. Amen.